Melbourne United tied 1-1 with Perth after the first two games of the grand final series in the NBL. Friday night in Perth, Sunday in Melbourne, and that gets repeated this coming weekend. Vince Crivelli is the chief executive of Melbourne United. Vince, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, mate. Nice to be here.
How do you feel middle of a grand final series?
I'm on edge. Yeah. I'm not sure whether to be happy, whether to be angry, whether to be sad, but I'm certainly emotional. It's good to be alive at this time of the year in our sport.
It's crying out for a Wednesday night game, isn't it, just to keep the continuity?
Yeah, look, I think the two games that were both played on the weekend, you know, record crowds. I was in Perth on Friday night and they do an amazing job, have done for years. You know, they've set the platform for a tremendous, they've set a huge bar, really, in terms of how the game's supported over there. And then we had 10,000 fans come to Melbourne Arena and, you know, a long weekend and support our guys. So I'm sure that momentum would have carried into Wednesday, but you know, we get to sleep a few more nights before that third game.
So this is tied to the free-to-air contract?
Yeah, definitely tied to the free-to-air contract. You know, I know the league and the clubs all work together on what their wish lists were, but, you know, there are other forces at play there. And, you know, you've got to work with all of those little stakeholders, and this is what we've ended up with.
If you had your choice, that the games would be slotted a bit closer together?
Yeah, I think so. I think basketball's a real volume game. You know, we were talking a little bit before. I do think that the story builds with that volume, and to have those volume of games a little closer together maybe brings a little bit more of that story out in a smaller time frame. But I know that the players feel pretty good about having an extra couple of days rest, because the games are incredibly physical. They're tightly contested. You know, I know the scoreline. I think it was we lost by 10 on Friday and won by near 20 on Sunday. But that doesn't necessarily tell the story of how tightly contested every single possession is.
The other curiosity about Friday night was the timing. Obviously makes sense in Perth at 7:20, but it doesn't on the eastern seaboard. Is 10:20 too late for your fans?
Oh, I think so. But, you know, we've got a great group of loyal fans who tuned in, and I know our social media pages were pretty active during the game, so we know they're all tuning in and supporting us. We had a watch party here in Melbourne as well that was really well attended. But yeah, I mean, ideally it'd be great to be here in Melbourne at 7:30 p.m. and we had that chance. We had a chance to secure a top spot and we couldn't do it. So this is the price we pay.
The peculiarities of Perth. So I think anyone who vaguely knows basketball understands how powerful the Wildcats have been and have some understanding of the intimidating nature of going and playing there. So you were there on Friday night. Just describe the atmosphere and the role that it plays for the home team.
Well, they're primarily a member-based club, so it's very difficult for the general punter in Perth to actually get a seat at the Wildcats. I think a 13,000-seat venue, I think there's only 1,000 seats that they sell on any game night. So what they've been able to build over time is a lot of tribal behaviour. They've kept the recipe very, very similar game after game, year after year. And they've had real stability in their playing group, led by Damian Martin, who is out and out a genuine superstar of Australian sport. We don't hear too much of him here because he's out on the western side of Australia, but he's certainly a superstar over there. And over that period of time, with all of that stability, has come behaviour at home games that, you know, is somewhat interesting to be a part of. You know, I think the interesting thing for our players, though, truthfully, is that they enjoy that. They actually enjoy the spectacle themselves. I don't think it really rattles them too much. If anything, I think guys like Chris and Casper, they actually draw energy from that from the crowd that's over there, but certainly creates a fantastic spectacle to be part of.
Does it influence the game? Because there are no variables in an enclosed stadium, courts the same size. There aren't distinguishing features from court to court to court other than the atmosphere.
Yeah, I think the energy that's produced by the crowd can influence games in different ways, whether that's some simple little mental errors, you know, missing a couple of free throws that ordinarily you wouldn't miss. You know, I know DJ went to the line and he's a 90-odd% free throw shooter and he missed his first four free throws, and he's a seasoned veteran and been a steady hand all year. Was that nerves or was it just a lack of concentration at the time? Probably a little bit of both, but I think the atmosphere played a part in that. Same too maybe with the officiating. You know, at times it can be those 50-50 calls. Under the pressure of 13,000 people all dressed in red, knowing your name, you know, sometimes that can also play a little bit of part. But I think For the most part, to be honest, Jared, I don't think our players are bothered by it at all. And I agree with your summation. There are no variables. It's just another court. It's a short plane ride. The time difference is probably the only factor I can think of that might impact the players' performance, because they are still on Melbourne time and it is 10:20 at night when they're playing that game. But our players don't fear it. They embrace it. I know that the guys actually really enjoy the atmosphere and they enjoy taking the air out of that stadium. They've done it multiple times.
Are there lessons in what the Wildcats have done and do that you look at, study and work out what's transferable?
Yeah, I don't think necessarily just in the Wildcats. You know, I think it's true of all sports, all great sporting clubs, and the Perth Wildcats are a great sporting organisation, period. I think this is their 33rd appearance in a finals campaign, which is, you know, fantastic. And the success that they've been able to have on the court and off the court, we certainly look at, but so too do we look at all of the AFL clubs here. Melbourne Storm are somebody that I really admire as the way they go about doing their business. And I think they've got really good stability across all of their leaders, and they all play their part really, really well. There's not a whole lot of negative emotion out there. It's fairly pragmatic, and everybody knows the task at hand and the role that they need to play, and they get on with it. And I think we've learnt from that. As far as the game day preparation, I know 5 years ago when I first started in the role, I took a visit to Perth because I'd heard so much about it and I wanted to experience it myself. And I certainly got a lot of keys, if you like, off them for how we set up our game day experience. But then we've kind of Melbournised it, if there is such a thing. And we've turned it into our own.
Have you had a go at dressing the whole stadium in one colour yet?
Yeah, we have. Yep. We have done that in the past. But, you know, part of the appeal that we love, Melbourne, we talk about the brand of Melbourne, you talk about food, you talk about fashion, you talk about sport, you talk about arts, you talk about all of the different culture that is involved in our great city. And for us, we didn't necessarily see it as something that was necessary to create a vibe at our games. You know, we like the idea of the fan being able to come with their kids, casual clothing. They don't need to go and buy another piece of merch to be part of what the game day experience really is. But we have done it in certain times of the year, and we'll probably try to do it again a few times next season, more tied into a cause than, you know, a way of behaving in our games. I want people to come to our games as they are, be themselves, enjoy a couple of hours with their family, and let the game and the entertainment that happens around the game wash over them.
So let me ask you the most obvious question of all is, how big is Game 3? This does look like a team that's capable of winning a game in Perth, but there's a difference between being capable and going and getting it done.
Yeah, look, we've been unlucky there twice. I think we had a call that didn't quite go our way that would have won us a game there earlier in the year on Casper Ware, and the NBL came out and actually said that they'd made a mistake with that call. And then the second game, you know, Casper Ware, who's unbelievably clutch when it matters, Mr. what could only be described as a pretty easy layup with 4 seconds to play to put us up, which meant, you know, those two results go away and we sweep the series. We're not concerned about winning in Perth. What really has been the case with us this year has been just our own performances. As I said, we have had games this year where we've had a chance to really break away from the competition, and we lost those games for whatever reason. And then the very next night, backs to the wall, because you go from being a game clear in first to battling for fifth spot within the space of 3 days, and it's a completely different team. So the battle for us is really about us. Game 3 is critical, but we truly believe we can win one of the next 2 games in Perth. And it's not a lay-down mazeer that you win a game in Perth and you come back home and win it here. It sounds great.
Yep.
From an operations and administration perspective, it's terrific, but not necessarily the case. We've got to win 2 out of the next 3, and we believe we can do that.
So Sunday's either keep it alive or win the title. It's also Grand Prix Day. So what are the competitive tensions around Sunday for Melbourne United?
Well, we go on sale to the general public today at 4 p.m. Through Ticketek. So I encourage anyone that's looking to get a seat to get online today as quickly as they can, because those seats tend to go pretty quickly. And I do think that we have a different fan base to what the GP would experience. That said, the GP's certainly evolved in the last couple of years, I think, into more an event, much like what the Australian Open is. Not quite there yet, but certainly similar to that, where there are a lot of families and event goers that choose to attend the GP, and they make that choice months in advance. So it's yet to be seen how it'll affect us, but I'm expecting nothing short of a sold-out capacity crowd supporting the boys on Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Well, good luck for the weekend ahead. There's a lot riding on it.
There certainly is, mate. And I tell you what, I'd be more than happy for next week to just be in celebration mode, but I'm also pretty prepared for battle mode.
What night would game five be if it goes that far?
It'd be Friday week.
Yep. So Friday, Sunday. It'd be a big build-up if it does get to game five. Good luck, Vince. Thanks for coming in again.
Thanks, Jared.
Vince Crivelli's the chief executive of Melbourne United. So today, 4 p.m. tickets go on sale, $2.50 Sunday. $2.20 Sunday is game four. So be a part of it. We went Sunday. It was a fantastic atmosphere. It'll be great. It's Essendon Membership Day on SEN. Become a mighty bomber at efc.com.au.